Welcome to our podcast, When Life Gives You Lemons. I'm Kevin Henry, and my partner in crime and wife is Palmy Henry. I have a rare disease known as spinocerebellar ataxia, which is a neuromuscular disease that's left me mobility challenged, as well as with a speech impediment and noise-induced anxiety.
Living with these disabilities for over 20 years, we have developed helpful hints and life lessons that we would like to share with you that has made our life easier and possible in some cases. We consider ourselves disability advocates and intend to educate ourselves and you about other disabilities and issues, and also talk about things we find interesting and frequently encounter when we're out and about.
Hello and welcome to our podcast, When Life Gives You Lemons. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Palmy.
So here we're talking about Parkinson's and
disease.
Parkinson's disease.
Do you know why?
April is Parkinson's Awareness Month.
It is. And also because on my Facebook page, Making the Lemonade, I am doing the 30 mile walking with your dog challenge that Michael J. Fox Foundation is supporting. If you have a chance, please go over there and donate if you can. All the donations will be sent directly to research for Parkinson's disease.
And I believe you're also doing a few YouTube videos on that as well.
Yes, You can follow me with the transition.
And YouTube channel is also called Making the Lemonade.
Yep, on YouTube, yep. There's okay. A link on the bottom. You can click on that and go directly to it after this podcast.
Okay.
I also have a personal reason why I'm doing this. My grandmother was diagnosed with Parkinson's when I was just a little kid. I don't have a lot of memories of her. She died shortly when I was in about four or five years old, I remember. I don't have many memories of her. I do remember her being in bed and sickly. She was a very frail, very thin lady. And I remember that my mom cared for her while my grandfather was working. So, what about you? Do you have any personal connection to this?
My grandfather also died of Parkinson's when I was very young, so I don't remember very much about him. I remember he was a farmer in Virginia. He taught me how to slop the pigs.
What does that mean?
Feed the pigs, basically.
Oh, okay.
But
was it hard?
I thought it was so cool at that age, you know. It's really...
Just giving them feed? Is that what you were doing?
But I don't recall him being sickly or anything like that.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Maybe your mom can give you more details.
Yeah, probably.
So I do have a few other memories of my grandmother. My grandfather was primarily the person that took care of us, but we had a little creek that ran between our house and my mom and dad's, or my grandma and grandpa's house, and my grandpa built that little bridge. It was the most adorable little thing, and we would, mom got sick of us, she'd send us out, go see grandma and grandpa, and we'd go across that creek, and it was about, 30, 40 yards past that, and Mom would call and say we were heading that way, and Grandpa would come down to the fence line and help us over the fence and go to Grandma and Grandpa's for the day. But I remember it was very unusual, but we'd get to spend the night sometimes. And I was telling you this before, but the only thing I remember, and isn't it weird how kids' memories last like this, but the only thing I remember is that we would have breakfast with Grandma and Grandpa, and you would think, something that stays in your memory would be like eggs and bacon or pancakes or something like that. Oh, no. In my memory, I remember my grandpa making all bran the cereal, you know, that terrible fiber cereal.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure you put lots and lots of sugar on it. That's why it's a memory. But also a milk toast. My grandpa was famous for his milk toast. He'd toast bread, white bread, of course, you know, and toast it really nice and hard. And then he'd butter it. And then he'd put cinnamon sugar on it. And then he'd pour a little bit of white milk on there. And I remember now I kind of might understand that that was probably what my grandma ate because she was so sickly, but I always associated with a big grandma and grandpa breakfast. Strange.
Well, do you know what I remember about breakfast of my grandparents?
No, what?
Biscuits.
Oh, see, that's better than milk toast.
That's all I can remember. She made the best biscuits.
Grandma Schaefer?
No.
Oh,
this was on my father's side, so it was Grandma Henry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, your dad has said many times what a good cook she is.
Oh, yeah.
She was lived in Appalachia, right? So they really did everything by the basics. So I'm sure it was a handmade recipe.
Yep.
Not so much on my side of the family. So we are talking about Parkinson's disease, and it does have a significant in both of our lives. And as a matter of fact, there's 10 million people worldwide suffering.
That sounds like a lot.
Yeah, can you imagine? Well, if it's touched both our lives, it seems like it's pretty common.
Well, I think during the time of our grandparents, Parkinson's was a new field of study. So, like, as I said before, my grandfather died of Parkinson's. So I think our research shows you can't die of Parkinson's. You die of complications from Parkinson's.
Right. It basically diminishes your immune system. And so you're very susceptible to anything that might come along. Like in my grandmother's case, hers was during the whooping cough pandemic in the late 60s, early 70s. That's what was listed as her cause of death.
Yeah, what I found to be interesting was they expect cases to increase over the next few years.
Yeah, by significant amounts. And they attribute that to the way that you can contract Parkinson's disease. There's a genetic factor and there's an environmental factor. And now recently they've concluded there might be a lifestyle factors that contribute to contracting Parkinson's disease.
Okay, why don't you explain this three different...
Well, let's go into that later. I'm going to go into the symptoms right now and a little bit of what our research told us about what is typical of Parkinson's. And then we'll get into more of the breakdown.
Okay, great.
Okay, so the symptoms are typically include tremors, leg rigidity, and problems with balance and coordination. Symptoms worsen over time. Parkinson's disease is a progressive neurological disorder that affects movement. It develops gradually, sometimes starting with barely noticeable tremor in just one hand. While tremors are common, the disorder is also commonly caused stiffness and slowing of the movements. And the symptoms I indicated earlier are some examples of that. The exact cause is unknown, but like I said, they say that there's three significant possibilities. But it involves the death of cells that produce dopamine in the brain.
Hmm.
There is no specific test for Parkinson's. You had asked me that earlier. I always was told by my mom that we could go in and get tested, but I think she was referring to maybe a doctor's diagnosis, you know, they put all the symptoms together.
And or perhaps she was referring to a genetic test. Certain genes would be present if there's hereditary.
Yeah, that's kind of like what we were talking about with your ataxia. So it's difficult to diagnose, and doctors may find may use medical history, symptoms, and physical and neurological exams. And sometimes there is a dopamine transporter scans that can be used. While there is no cure, treatment options vary and include medication and surgical therapies. These treatments can manage symptoms effectively. And we're going to talk about this later, but ongoing research aims to find new ways to delay, prevent, and treat the disease. So let's get back to what we were talking about, those three ways that might be the causes. So genetic, that's pretty straightforward.
Right.
And we probably, you know, that's where they would look at the
family history.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but yeah, something like that. And then next one was environmental. What do you think they mean by that?
Well, I'm guessing it could be anything from exposure to chemicals or even lifestyle choices.
Yeah, that was the other thing that might be part of the environment. You're right. That's probably a connection. While I was doing some of my research, I did find that there is a lawsuit for paraquat. Am I saying that correctly?
I believe so.
Yeah, it's a herbicidal.
Paraquat, right.
Right, yeah, that's what I think it's pronounced. And it's a herbal, what is it?
Herbicide,
yeah, that was developed to handle weeds, I assume, or helping with producing more food.
Well, not only that, if we go back to the 70s, if you will, they used what they called a defoliant, Agent Orange.
Oh, yeah. Might be connected there.
Well, I know paraquat is in that. Who knows?
We don't know. Remember our warning. Maybe you should say our warning here, Kevin.
Let me warn you again. We are not doctors,
nor are we
lawyers.
Nowhere close. And this is for entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, we read stuff we found at the internet. And we all know the internet can be a bit misleading.
Yes, I was falling through internet webs as I was researching this from left to right. There was all kinds of claims in there.
There's also all kinds of wormholes we can fall down into.
Yeah, I am guilty of that.
I'm sure if you spend enough time looking at it, somebody is going to attribute Parkinson's to some wild stuff.
Yeah, I agree. It's crazy out there.
And much as in any legal proceeding where they get doctors as professional expert testimony on the side of the defense, the offense, there are doctors out there with different opinions, so.
That's true. Okay, speaking of that, I did come across a paraquat lawsuit. There is a nationwide 800 number that you can, and we will pass that on to you. It's 1-800-370-2322 if you think you've been exposed to paraquat and need to have some reimbursement. Compensation because of medical issues. So one of the wormholes that I went down was future research.
The fecal matter transplant.
Yep, transplant. Yep, it's called FMT. There is two thoughts that, you know, these are nerve cells that reduce the amount of dopamine that gets to your brain. So they said there's two ways. The research thinks that there's two ways that might start. There's what they call the brain first, which they conclude might start in the nose through the nose and travel. This is the quicker traveling Parkinson's, and to because it can get closer to the brain sooner and reduce your dopamine. But there's also this something they call the gut first, and that was what you were alluding to earlier. It starts in the gut based on your nutrition, and it this new promising evidence that the fecal microbiome transportation, FMT, we will refer to that in the future, to improve, it seems to have improved symptoms in patients. This is one of many therapies that they are looking into with this new research. Do you know why there's so much more research right now?
No, why?
Well, one, Michael J. Fox was diagnosed, and he put a lot of money towards it. He started a research foundation, and they have advanced quite a bit in the last 10 years due to that.
Cool.
Yeah, and there's quite a few, and because there's 10 million people that are being affected by this.
Yeah, it's a lot of people, but should they be worse off if they didn't have a big banker only organization funding the research?
Well, when you got somebody that has a, you know, is experiencing these symptoms, and you can put a face to a name to a disease, you'll get more research. And every disease is the same thing. We talked about what is the one we talked about earlier?
Cerebral palsy.
Yes. Sorry. Brain fart there. Once they get more and more money to put towards research, things, you know, happen quickly. So, and that's what the whole name of the game for all these terrible diseases out there, like spinal ataxia, cerebellum ataxia. We need the money so we can figure out what's going on. So anyways, there's also another therapy is stem cell research. And then there's a lot more things that like you can do on a personal level. I saw that there was samba drumming, which is just basically reconnecting patterns to your brain. Rhythm and patterns kind of get reduced due to the dopamine reduction. And that doesn't help with the movements and the speech and everything like that. So there was, and that was in, that was in the UK. And then we found in Canada, there was a boxing program where they did the same thing for Parkinson's patients. And I think it kind of leads in the same directions as what we were in. When you got diagnosed, they told us, you know, if you lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it. And he's keeping those brain pathways.
The constant. Oddly enough, there was a lady in my class when I first started with Parkinson's, and
you mean martial arts?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she also, you know, she had limits, but I noticed that one of her limits was stiffness. I guess that's the stiffness of muscles you're referring to.
Yeah. Same thing helped you. You know, the more you exercise, the more you were able to stay out of the wheelchair for a long time.
Well, I think you can compare the two examples you found.
Yeah, I found that
therapy towards, you know, patterns and rhythms and such.
Yeah, I found that it caused me to think when I was going through all this research and all the symptoms and stuff that they're very similar to your symptoms. In a great way.
Yeah, probably. I think we discussed this earlier. There's no definitive test. It's a combination of tests.
Are you talking about cerebellum or ataxia?
Well, really everything neurological.
Yeah.
They look at checking boxes and, for example, MS would cause lesions on your brain that they could see with the MRI, if you don't have lesions, you don't have MS.
And then you go to all the other diseases that they have to start eliminating. So it's an elimination diagnosis, basically.
Right, like when I was first diagnosed, a lot of people would start pulling on my arms and legs and see if I had this stiffness that you just tried a while back.
Right, and you do. Yeah.
Sure not to the extent a Parkinson's patient does.
Right, right. Well, our neurologist that we see, he also treats Parkinson's patients.
Yeah, I'm sure he treats a lot of different neurological patients.
Yeah. So because of celebrities coming out and being vocal, and even if they don't have the disease, there's a lot of support behind them. There's a lot of hope in the future for the future research and for Parkinson's.
Well, hope is always a good thing.
Yep, got to live for it. And then in speaking of that, don't forget that I'm doing that fundraiser on Facebook. We'll have all links below that you can come and if you have the capability, please donate so we can help a few of the 10 million of future sufferers in the future.
I'm sorry, you've been doing YouTube too long. We're not going to have the link below. We'll have the link in our show notes.
Oh, sorry. It gets confusing after a while. All right. Well, I think that's what we call a day, unless you have something else to add.
I don't have a thing.
Okay, well, we'll see you later, and we hope to get out another podcast in about 2 weeks.
See you next time.
We are always looking to improve the podcast, so if you want to hear a specific topic, have a differing opinion, want to add something to the conversation, drop us an email. Our contact information is listed on our website. It's www.whenlifegivesyoulemons.net. We have recently added a companion YouTube channel called Making the Lemonade. If you enjoy the podcast, continue your enjoyment by joining us on YouTube.